Good afternoon. Welcome to The Journey 8. I'm your host, Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to sit back and take a few moments to breathe as we share this journey together. All right. We are going to try something here. Are we there? We're there. We're kind of there. I think there's maybe a ship in the background. Mr. Engineer! Okay. So, I'm Reverend Judy Hosner, if you can hear me, amongst the noise. And this is the Journey 8. And we're going to try a little something different. Normally, I don't know, is there a normal? We're not sure. Normally, we have a bunch of announcements at the beginning of the program. And I think I'm going to do it backwards because I just feel backwards tonight. Turned inside out and right side up. So I'm hoping that you all can hear me because a lot of static on my end. Let's see if... Okay, thank you, Mr. Engineer. He says I'm perfect. I don't want to be perfect. Okay, so here we are. We're gonna try something a little different in that because I'm still recovering from a terrible case of the flu and a sinus infection, I'm going to try and break up the word for tonight and maybe put the announcements in the middle and give you a little bit of a break. I don't know. We'll just see how my voice hangs out. And we'll just go by ear. So welcome. All you that might be listening, I think there's 12 or 14 or 15 or maybe 1,000 of you. Who knows? We're going to talk tonight. And let me take a step back. During my week off, I had a lot of time, as most people do when they're sick, to sit and have some conversations with God that I don't normally press into my day lately. And it was refreshing, to say the least, because I had a lot to talk about. One of the things I've learned, though, is when you're talking to God, you kind of have to shut up once in a while and listen, too. For those of you who know me on a personal basis, you know that's really hard to do. So, spent a lot of time catching up on some reading and doing some things that I had let go a little bit. And I realized while I was ill that I don't know how I would feel if I was ill to the point where I was housebound or in a situation where I could not get out and about. You know, I complain about my aches and pains, as we all do as we get older, and wish that I was young and spry again. But I gave a lot of thought and had a long conversation with God about those of my friends who can't get out. And you know who you are. I'll name you, Carol and I think that it's hard to, for those of us who are capable of doing things, hard for us to comprehend what it must be like to have that sense of abandonment, I guess you could say, loneliness. And I asked God, what it was that he wanted me to talk about when I came back on the radio. And this kept coming back. It came back in spades today, as I received an email that really moved me. And thinking of my friend Nancy, who was also a shut-in to some degree. And, you know, I just felt very strong that this was the message. And as hard as it is going to be for me to press this forward, we're going to try. And I do apologize for sounding like a frog, a soprano frog at least. So we're gonna delve into this, and we're going to see how this turns out. I wrote this somewhat in the middle of the night. For me, the middle of the night is kind of a arbitrary thing since I'm up all the time anyway. But we're going to refer to Psalm 13, one of my favorite books. For those of you who are looking, it's Old Testament, middle of the Old Testament. Psalm chapter 13, we're going to focus on verses 1 through 6. And that's what I happen to keep coming back to, and that's what I'm going to work on. So, for those of you who are regulars, before I read the scripture, you know what I'm going to say. You should have this memorized. We're going on a year pretty soon on the airwaves. But for those of you who don't know, here's the introduction to the scripture. No, bus drivers, crane operators, truck and or tractor drivers, aircraft pilots, train engineers, or anyone with a small bouncy dog in the front seat should divert their attention from their driving to find this passage. Wait until it's safe for you to read this. All others listening, pull out your Bibles, Kindles, Nooks, iPads, iPods, iPhones, Androids, and any other smart or dumb device, and follow along with me. Psalm 13, 1 through 6. This is King David, and he's having some problems. We believe that this particular psalm was written during the time that he was hiding from Saul, who was looking for him to kill him. Here we go. How long, O Lord, will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Yes, he has. So, here we are. David, prior to being king, during being king, and every time in between, had a tremendous up and down kind of life. He was either on top of the world or he was underneath the world. And so in this particular case, he's basically reaching out to God, and we're gonna approach this from an issue of dealing with loneliness, and kind of like solitaire, you know? So, here we go. ''92% of Christians admitted in a survey that feelings of loneliness are a major problem in their lives. Let me repeat that. 92%. That's a lot. They all shared a basic symptom, a sense of despair at feeling uninvolved, unloved, a fear of being unwanted or unaccepted. This is tragic. You know, these are people whom Christ said, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another," John 13:35. How can we have love for one another and have loneliness on an epidemic level in American culture? You know, there's more ways to connect with people than ever before. Think about it. I just read them all. iPods, iPads, iPhones, And yet, we are lonelier than we've ever been. And loneliness is on a steady increase. So, you know, God and I were thinking about this. You know, loneliness is about more than just being alone. There are many people, including myself, that love to be alone, especially when I'm studying. And I rarely experience loneliness. Loneliness is more of an issue of the heart, I think, than it is about the presence of other people. Because you can be alone and be in a room full of other people. You can feel totally abandoned and be in a whole hotel or wherever. So it's not about environment. It's about the heart. You know, how you're feeling about you and, you know, where you're at. You know, when I read the scripture this evening, you know, here's King David, one of the mightiest characters in the Bible, a man who overthrew armies and fell a Goliath and did all these things. And yet, when he was running for his life from Saul, it's the cry of a lonely heart, feeling despair, feeling abandoned by God. And he repeats this 4 times in this, you know, in 2 verses. You know, how long? How long, God? You know, as I said, most traditional theologians, including myself, think that this was during either a great sickness, or I think it was during the time he was forced to flee from Saul, hiding in caves and what have you, and that he couldn't connect. He was nowhere, yeah. So here's a heartfelt cry for the presence of God. He wants God. He wants to feel God in his life again. He wants to feel that sense of belonging to the Almighty instead of being alone in a dark, cold cave. You know, the words are ripped with raw emotions. I mean, how much more despair can you write? You know, it echoes through the whole passage. The words, how long, are repeated and repeated. You know, how long, how long? And David feels that he is at the bottom of a deep, dark cave. And there was an incredible amount of problems surrounding him. He's separated from his family and his home. He knows that Saul and his army are out looking for him. And his chances of ever being the promised king were dwindling by the moment. You know, he was anointed as the next king, and Saul is trying to make sure that doesn't happen. So he turns to the one person or the one being that can help him. And he says, How long are you going to hide your face from me? How long are you going to hide, period? These words just came out of despair. You know, he's in the midst of a personal tribulation. And his problems, no human could solve. He knew that the only place he could go to fix what was wrong and to get back was to meet with God. That God is the one who is going to help him. But he feels that God has hidden his face from him. Yeah? Have you ever felt forgotten? Have you ever felt left out or ignored? You know, David was clearly experiencing these kinds of emotions as he pleads with God. The honesty of David is something we do not see in our American society. You know, you go up to friends or people that you know and you say, how are you doing? What's the response you get? Oh, I'm fine. How are you? Most people lie about their feelings of loneliness or deny them. David faced his loneliness head on. And he went straight to God in the midst of his emotional turmoil and said, hello, here I am. Where are you? I don't see you. I don't feel you. Why are you hiding from me? You know, he's at the point where I see some of my friends of beginning to experience that he will never see God or feel the presence of God again. You know, forever is a long time. And he uses this term constantly. You know, you're going to hide from me forever? You know, what's going on? You know, the feeling is that God will never answer and will not come to the aid of his situation. Things have become so bad, David began to feel that even God had abandoned him. How many of you have felt like that from time to time? I've had times in my life where, dadgummit, you know, everybody. I felt like everybody has turned their back. When looking back, I find that they hadn't turned their back. They were living their lives, and they turned their attention. Did they stop loving me? No, they didn't stop loving me. They didn't stop caring. They just stopped being involved. And so I've learned over the years, as David did, that when you cry out in honesty and say, when are you going to stop hiding from me? When are you going to show your face? When are you going to pick up the phone and call me? When? And then you pray. You do the only thing that you can do in the situation that you're in. You turn to God and you say, fix this. I'm lonely. Fix this for me because I cannot do it. The feeling is that, you know, I cannot do this. You have to help me. Reach down and help me. Don't abandon me. The feeling of being forgotten or being alone was not new when you think about the people of Israel. Or, you know, to a lot of the characters in the Bible. You know, you look at the Israelites. They endured decades of slavery in Egypt before God rescued them. You know, Moses stood alone before God, pleading for them. You know, here we are. Gideon was alone and hiding when he was called to lead an army. David stood alone against Goliath. And so on and so forth, story after story. all the way down to Jesus, who stood alone and was nailed to a cross, and said, "My God, why have thou forsaken me?" You know, I don't know about you, but I found after all these years on the earth that people seem to have no problem admitting that they've had a drug problem, or they're divorced, or alcoholism. But for them to admit, I mean, they almost loathe to admit that that they're lonely. You know, and that goes for whether you're a movie star or a TV repairman or whomever, or a lowly little radio host. It's just too embarrassing. People don't want to go to the core of who they are. People don't want to admit that they are lonely. I mean, come on. Yeah, I got lots of friends. I'm not lonely. Shoot, I can go over to Joe's bar right now, and you know, there'll be three or four people there. Yeah. We especially in America, have tagged a sense of loneliness as almost like humiliating. You know, it's like, you can't, I mean, that's not normal to be lonely. I mean, yeah, you can have an off day, but really lonely? You must be a really boring person or something. No. Feeling of loneliness is often a struggle for those of us who have a deep faith. And why is that? Because there is a feeling that God is nowhere to be found. But faith says that God is with us at all times. The reality is, we're human. He is the creator. I always say this. And we are the created. And as a result, the reality is that feelings are fickle. And our feelings, our emotions, sometimes lead us astray. And we take, and we major in minors. And I'm not saying that if you're lonely and you're struggling, that that is insignificant, or, you know, what's the matter with you. What I'm saying is, when you're in the deepest, darkest despair, it's hard for you to see out the window and see the whole picture, because your feelings are so deep, and they're so raw, and you're hurting. And it's hard when you are feeling like that to remember that God is with you. And He is. And eventually, hopefully, you'll pray and you'll find Him again. And when you find that sense of belonging to the Almighty, the rest of it falls into place. You know, Peter points out in his letter I'm not sure which church, and I'll be honest with you. But anyway, we have a tendency to ask God for things on our schedule. And the reality is, God's not slow in keeping His promises to us. I mean, as we understand slowness, He's patient with you. He's not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone has to come to the sense of repentance under His schedule. And His time is not necessarily ours. So you pray, and I pray all the time. And I say, I need my friend to feel better now. Or, I wish my car would get fixed now. God, can't you, like, you know, heal this torn and broken body now? And God, of course, sits there and he's on the God phone with you. And he's, sure, not a problem. But, you know, this is the Lord of millenniums. This is the God of you know, forever. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So now to God is not the same as now to us. And so when you're in the depths of loneliness, when you're wrestling with something, you know, when you're trying your best to pull it together, and God is doing his God thing, it's hard for you. Well, it's hard for me sometimes to say, where are you? As David did. Why are you hiding your face from me? Why can't you just come down and fix this for me? How long must I wrestle? You know, when you read that passage, how long must I wrestle? The word wrestle really means how long must I have this struggle? And not necessarily with another person. It could be struggle within your own self. How long must I wrestle with these feelings? How long must I feel forgotten? You know? And yes, it causes a physical and emotional toll. David, when he was in this situation, he lost his spiritual strength. He was floundering, you know. It takes a toll on you and I when we have an enormous amount of grief or anger, loneliness, despair. You can age overnight, and that's true. Because when you're struggling with that amount of intense emotion, you're bound to see it in a physical way. You know, as I said, David generally felt separated from God. He thought he'd been thrown out in the trash. You know, when we try to communicate with God, we do it under our own direction, shall we say. So I find a lot of people say, well, you know, I read the Bible every day. And I say, that's very good. What did you read today? Oh, I don't remember, but I read it this morning. You know, there's reading the Bible, there's studying the Bible, and there's absorbing the meaning of the Bible. You can read the Bible, you can even study the Bible, but until you have that connection with God, those are words, and you might pick up some history and context by studying, but until you actually feel the Bible, and the same thing with God, until you actually feel God's presence in your life, you will struggle with loneliness, abandonment, grief, and so on. You know, David's asking God not only to see his situation, but to act. Like I said, many times we pray, you know, don't just look at my situation and say, yeah, I really feel bad for you. This is God speaking. I feel bad for you. When we pray, we say, hey, come and give me a hand. You know, same thing with David. He wanted God to see his situation, but, you know, he wasn't very good about asking God exactly what he wanted to do. All he was saying was, stop hiding your face from me. You know, I feel abandoned. The key to the plea David makes here is to resolve any unsettled fear that may be happening. David made two comments about those who were pursuing him. He speaks of foes and enemies. If God does not answer, David's enemies will believe that he's defeated, and David's asking God to provide a victory. He wants him to bolster him up. I don't want my enemies to think I'm weak. Think about it. When you're in the midst of something really tough to deal with, whether it's loneliness or anger or what, the last thing you usually want people to feel is that you're defeated, so they can continue to turn their back or whatever, you know? He wants protection. He wants to step in and rescue him. He wants God to step in and rescue him. You know, fix me. I'm broken. And fix me now. Yeah. I do this all the time, whether I'm praying for myself or a situation or someone else. I have a tendency, being the type A person that I am, to put a timetable on things. I'm going to come back to you, God, tomorrow at noon. And I'm believing that you're going to have this fixed, that you're going to give me the answer I need, some wisdom that I need, or you're going to make Sally feel better and David get over his cold and Carol not to feel so abandoned or alone. So I'm coming back at noon tomorrow, and, you know, we're going to settle this out. I have faith. The problem is, when we get caught up in that kind of a faith, shall we say, we really deceive ourselves. Because faith, in the true sense, is laying it out there and saying, I know in my heart that you will be on my side and you will come and give me what I need. Whether it's healing, or whether it's a sense of love, or a sense of community, playing on the hearts of my friends to remind them, you know, to visit me, whatever it is. When you have that real faith, timetables don't matter. And I have to keep reminding myself of that. God, I don't feel so great today. I'm pretty low. I'm pretty down and out. But I have faith that tomorrow morning, I'm going to be fine. Right? Right, God? Now, obviously, I don't put it quite like that, but that's the gist. And so I have to step back and tell myself, patience. God's time is not my time. And he may already be working on the situation. And of course, I don't know that. I don't know what God's doing. I don't know. He could be sitting up there knitting a hat. I don't know. I think he's got better things to do than that, but who knows? Yeah. David believes that this is going to be a reality unless God intervenes in his life. Reality meaning that, you know, his enemies are going to defeat him. Thus, God providing deliverance assures glory to God's name. So, David's using the, well, you know, if I get defeated, all these enemies are going to say, whoa, what kind of a wimpy God do you have? Look at that. Your God didn't protect you. Your God didn't save you. Your God did not bring you out of despair. Your God didn't save you from Saul. So on and so forth. Same today. You know, your God didn't help you when you were alone. Your God didn't work on the hearts of your friends and your family. Your God didn't come to your rescue when you needed him. Ha ha. So, wimpy God. Who would that be talking through your emotions? Yes, the enemy. Yeah. You know, David says, give light to my eyes. Yeah, give light to my eyes. How often when we are in despair or we're lonely, we relate that to darkness. You know, I battle with depression from time to time myself. And I always call it my dark place. Because we humans are afraid of the dark. All of us are. You know, darkness is a scary place for a lot of people. And so when you're lonely and when you're feeling abandoned, you're feeling all those intense feelings. It is the darkness that people describe, you know. So David's saying, give light to my eyes. You know, light is always viewed, even today, as God's power. You know, we are children of the light. You know, that light that's referred to so many times in the Bible is a symbol or relates to the power and the glory of God. So, you know, here's David saying, give light to my eyes. Let me see again. Yeah? Give me the power that you have, and I will give you the glory. You know, the desire of David is to see God do something miraculous. You know, rescue me. The need is great, but the power of God is greater. Always is. Always will be. What do you do when you have low points in your life? What do you do? Do you drink to make yourself feel better? Do you do drugs? What do you do? One of the easiest traps we fall into in times of loneliness is to allow the problems and the chaos to take over our lives. And it's easy to do. The focus of our hearts and our lives needs to be on Christ. Yeah? The reality is we don't always do that. Just recently, in my own neighborhood, a person took their life because they were in despair beyond comprehension. And instead of reaching out to God or reaching out and getting help, this person chose to take their lives. And it's sad. It's sad to know that somebody living so close and you know, that God couldn't move my heart to try and intervene. Had no clue. Yeah, when we fall into these traps and chaos takes over our lives, oh, the difficulty it is to focus our hearts back on Christ and the strength that comes from God to turn it around and say, well, wait a minute. This is not so cool. I need to refocus. I must refocus. Even if everyone on earth has left me, I still have God. I am still a child of the Most High God. Yes. And so when you read this passage and you get down to the end of it near the close, David renews his trust in God, of course. He rejoices in what God has done for him already. And he says, I know you have things to do. I know that I was not anointed to be king without your blessing. And I praise you for that. And I'm going to have the faith that you're going to rescue me in your time. Yeah. So that's what came to me while I was trying to get well and feeling abandoned, as I always do when I'm sick. I'm a terrible patient. I am awful. I hate myself when I'm sick. I can imagine what my partner and everybody else in the world thinks of me. I'm ugly and I'm not happy and I'm sniveling and I'm just a big baby. And so, yeah, we all have moments, some of us not as deep as others, but focus on Christ, not the chaos. Be honest with God. Remember that God loves you without condition. All of us humans put conditions on our feelings for one another. I'll love you if you, or I love you, fill in the blank. But God loves you without condition. And it doesn't matter if everyone in the world has turned their back on you. Find your joy in God. Pull yourself out by the bootstraps, as they used to say. Focus on Christ, not the chaos, not the pain, not the abandonment, and what will be, will be. But what will be in your heart should be happiness. Not happiness because your family isn't visiting you or all that stuff, but happy because you are a child of the Most High God. And I can't tell you enough times, you are a child of the Most High God, and He will rescue you. But He will rescue you only if you ask Him. Yeah, that's kind of how that works. So when the God phone rings in your ear or in your heart, pick up the phone and say hello. Hello, God. I am here. Here I am, Lord. It is I, Lord. Amen. Okay, so real fast, I only have a couple of announcements, and then we're going to be out of time. How's that? Out of time? Oh, no. I thought this went on forever. All right. So the first one, the website, closerwalkwithyou.com, is going through a facelift. So you can go there and take a look at what I've done so far, and hopefully now that I'm halfway well, yes, it'll be finished. In God's time. Christmas album, my Christmas album, Peace. It's not exactly on track, thanks to a throat that doesn't want to sing too well. But we're going to still shoot for the 30th of November. All right. Questions for me? Comments? Yes. Rev Judy at closerwalkwithyou.com. R-E-V-J J-U-D-Y. All right. And I'm still asking for your help for my dear friend, Jen Phipps, who is planning her trip to Mozambique. She had to postpone it for a couple months due to health, but she is on the way back and looking like January or February, and we still need to come up with that money for her ticket. She's going to spend some time with children in an orphanage in Mozambique, Africa. This has been a dream of hers her whole life. All I'm asking of you is to give up lunch for one day. Donate $5 to help make it there. If 100 people or 1,000 people, I don't even know how many people listen to me, but whoever listens to me, go to GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com and find Jen Phipps, J-E-N Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S, and read about her little biography. She has been wanting to do this all her life. All right? So, do a favor for yourself. Feel good about doing something for somebody who wants to go help children over in Africa. What a dangerous thing. But she has this dream, and I'm asking you to help me help her make it come true. You can go to my website pretty soon when the rest of it's put together, and I can give you the exact link. But if you go to GoFundMe.com and just type in her name, you will be able to get to her page. And Bible trivia. Okay. I'm getting the feeling that nobody wants to play Bible trivia. Is that true? I can't believe that. It's fun. It's multiple choice. Come on. I made it easy on you. I gave you multiple choice questions. I think there's even a couple true and falses in there. Oh, you got a 50% chance of winning on that. Okay. So where do you go? You go to purposegames.com. PURPOSEgames.com. And you type in the Journey 8. And you should punch up a users tab, and at some point you get to the page where I think there's 3 or 4 quizzes there. I'll try and put together another one too. If you've got some questions that you think would be good for the quiz, send them to me. I'll be glad to use them. It'd be nice for you to send me the answers too, but I might know them. Either way, okay, purposegames.com. Nice site. No arguing, no ugliness, just a bunch of fun games to play. You can even put in some games of your own. It's free. Free is good nowadays. No strings attached. You don't have to buy anything. Just something to do. All right. Okay. So that's it for this week. Next Wednesday, I will not be on the air, because it is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and that evening will be spent doing all kinds of, domestic things. So I'm going to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving now. I may think of all of you. In fact, I will think of all 12 or 14 of you, and I will be back the following week, which will be the first week of Advent. We will start some Advent kind of things in preparation for Christmas. Okay. Peace and grace. Thank you for listening to The Journey 8, and please come back and join us again. Remember, be kind in all you do, and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace, Judy Hausman.